This is Ozarks at Large. Katie Pyatt is presenting the show Male Fragility, a night of rant and reason, Friday night at Crystal Bridges. Katie is a queer, non-binary artist who grew up near Springfield, Missouri, and now lives in Portland, Oregon. Yesterday afternoon, Katie spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about the show. They began the conversation by discussing what it was like growing up in the Ozarks.
I did not discover my non-binary self or at least feel safe to go public about it until last summer, in my 30s. And so, last year was huge. I actually have some jokes about this because my mom's like, you need to be patient with me. You've put me through a lot, because last year I turned 30. I'm her youngest child. And then I found out I was bisexual on accident in a phone conversation with her. And then I started to feel the need to go public with my non-binary feels. And so recently I've been doing a lot of journaling and investigation of my childhood. And I honestly, I don't think I would have felt safe to come out when I was a teen. I have huge respect for people that see themselves in their teens, because I definitely did not. I felt, in looking back at it, when people would mistake me for a boy when I was a teenager, I felt shameful because I was like, oh no, I'm supposed to be XYZ what a girl is. But I would also feel secret excitement of oh my gosh, I confused them, which is my favorite thing now. I don't know. I feel like I probably felt very safe hiding. For a while I was like, I'm just such a powerful ally. I support so much. But I think I was just deeply closeted, because it's definitely I can't speak for the climate now, but it was definitely a weird area to even just be a fat girl in, and to be a fat not girl who's not straight was probably not a path that I would have found very easily, because my father, who gets a co-writing credit for this show, was a very fragile man. I mean, he still is, but I don't speak to him anymore.
Was he sort of the person that kind of gave you a sense of the patriarchy? Maybe you didn't have a word for it quite at a young age, but was there a moment or an incident as a child where you recognized this system of what we call patriarchy, or this idea that maybe things weren't equal?
It was kind of a mixture of both. I didn't understand what feminism was until I was 14. I saw the HBO film Iron Jawed Angels on Scratchy Stars channel on my mom's school television. She was a second grade teacher. And I will say that show or that movie shows a history of white women trying to get the right to vote, and it's wildly not intersectional in its topic, but that's also historically what happened. But at the same time, it's problematic now, but it influenced me as a young white teen, because it was about these women hunger striking and being we're going to have a protest parade on the same day as the inaugural parade to get the right to vote. And so that's when I was kind of that's true. And I think that's also why I didn't come out or even think about, because I didn't have the language for non-binary when I was 14, but also it was really alluring to be yeah, I am a woman because I have this cause to fight for, which I still now I'm just women and femmes and non-binary people, we experienced XYZ things, and being raised, forcibly as a woman in this culture and country and things like that, I still identify with that, but I definitely feel those little feminist feelings when I was a teenager helped me stay in the woman sect. And before that, when I was a little kid, my dad used to say things women can't skateboard, women can't. One of my favorite things to tell when I do stand-up comedy is just he was women aren't funny. And then I just look at the crowd I don't know, look at me standing here being hilarious. what do you guys think? But he would always be women are demure and submissive. And he would say things like that. And he always pointed to Charlize Theron as the perfect example of a woman, which I've always wanted to do a show next to a cardboard cutout of her and be I can't, I'm not her. I can't, that's one person. I can't do it. But he would always talk about the demureness of women and being seen and not heard. But then also he would pay me money to do these very dangerous hillbilly chores, be demure, be submissive, but also can you climb to the top of the shed and pull dead birds out of the stovepipe. I'll give you $3 for every bird. Like, okay. That's how I made money when I was a little kid. But it was just like, wait, now while I'm pulling these dead crows out of this, when am I being demure? Am I demure right now? Like, how does this work? Because this feels like a weird labor thing now. But he would say stuff like that all the time. Like, you should play basketball before it's time for you to get married. One time he caught me, my brother teaching me how to skateboard in the backyard, and he just got like so angry. And it wasn't even like, oh, you're skateboarding in the grass, that's super dangerous. It was like, girls can't skateboard. That's the end. Done. Bye. He used to get angry when I would get free tampon samples in the mail from like 17 magazines. He just like point them at me and be like, we're not going to have this in my household. And it's like, as though I sent to the magazine, like, hey, you better send me some free samples. Like, thanks. Or as though I had control over like menstruation in general. Like, he'd be like, we're not going to have this in our household. And I think like, well, you should talk to the guy upstairs, because I didn't make my body this, you know, like that's, it's not up to me. Why is this my fault?
So you said that your dad gets a writing credit. Is he, what would you give him, I guess, credit for being the person that prompted you to create the show?
It's, I have very complex feelings about, like, he should get a writing credit, but would I actually put his name on a pamphlet about the show? I don't think so, but he definitely like started out my life with just immediate shame and second class citizenship. Just for being born, just like just being a girl or being like assigned girl at birth was like a fault of mine that I could never figure out, like, how do I make this better, or how do I get out of this? Like, I can't do any of these things. And so, like, I think he did give me a more critical lens. But what definitely opened my eyes was taking critical theory in graduate school and reading Bell Hooks and reading Men Explain Things to Me by Rebecca Solnit. I have a prepared reading list if anybody ever wants to ask me about it. Just like, you know, how you make up things. Like, if someone ever asks me, I have it. But I would definitely recommend The Will to Change, Men, Masculinity, and Love by Bell Hooks, and Men Explain Things to Me by Rebecca Solnit, because those, like, they really put a critical eye on the way culture has, like, we make, what do I want to say? We produce men who already feel accomplished, even in mediocrity, just like, I can do this, I'm the best. And they don't notice that they center themselves in conversation, and they don't notice that they're cute, quippy things about women's bodies or anything like that. Like, when I teach comedy classes, I always tell this bit of like, you know, if you're a man doing comedy, don't do that comedy where you're like, everyone's going to think this is hilarious. I want you to think about what women in the audience are going to think. Like, a classic example would be like a guy that's like, oh, I had a bad date the other night. Her body's still in the trunk of my car. Haha. And like, the joke to him is, I would never murder a woman, but I don't know that. I don't know you. That's not funny to me. Like, that's a serious thing that you just said that you think is hilarious. And like, I'm the person who has my friend secretly bowling in the alley next to us because I don't know who you are when you take me on a date. But like, that's not hysterical to me.
When you say male fragility, as is in the title of your show, how do you define that?
Male fragility is when, because you're raised as a boy in a patriarchy and you're taught to cut off most of your emotions except for aggression and arrogance and dominance, it makes you get angry when those things are challenged. And like, to break that down a little bit further, in our culture, it's like idealized to be the quote unquote best man, to be the manliest, the top dog. And so in order to be that person, you have to make fun of things that are softer than you, or that might make you look quote unquote soft or feminine or homosexual or weak or something like that. And so when you make fun of those things, when you breach those contracts, that's when male fragility happens. The idea that when I was a little kid, my dad used to call me a floozy all the time. Like, you're just going to grow up to be a floozy. And I'd be like, Dad, what does that mean? I'm 11. Instead of him being able to actually communicate your budding sexuality and the idea that you would grow up someday to copulate with someone or be loved by someone makes me uncomfortable. Instead, he would just call me a floozy. Like, I think it's a lack of being able to communicate feeling and to pinpoint, this makes me uncomfortable, or this makes me feel sad, or this makes me feel loved. Instead, it's just like anger.
So the show seems to be a mix of things, a mix of stand-up comedy and audience participation. What is the overall goal of this performance for your audience?
For the audience, I want this show to be like a tender hug, but also call it like when your favorite teacher pulls you aside and says, hey, and I do this with kids all the time, like, hey, today wasn't your best day. And I know you can be a better person because I've seen you be a better person. And I love you so much that I want to tell you this. I'm not just going to let it happen. I'm going to point out that we can do better and that I believe that you can do better. And so I want it to be like that for people in the audience, for men in their own behavior, like a self-critical, like self-analyzation, and then for women and femmes, non-binary people who have survived abuse, and also like women and femmes and non-binary people within our communities, toxic masculinity is a thing that is primarily seen with men, but also like within the gay community, amongst like butches and stuff, like that happens too. And so like, we could call it out. We can see it. I want this show to be like a tender hug, but also a critical letter of like, you're accountable as heck. And then to create a discourse.
That was artist Katie Pyatt speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Katie's show, Male Fragility, A Night of Rant and Reason, begins at 7 Friday night at Crystal Bridges. Admission is free. Tickets may be reserved at crystalbridges.org.